Hi, it's Dwyer. Gamblersadvisory.com, a free site. Also, bettingangle.us, a free site. It is Sunday, March 10th, 2024. Let's talk about Anthony Joshua's magnificent, and it was magnificent, victory over Francis Ngannou. But first, remember, the opinion you should follow should be your own. Just consider this video to be a second opinion from a complete stranger online. Now, let me just say here, and it's important, you know, I'm still trying to process this. I was wrong on this fight. I thought I had the Joshua part of the play covered with an over 5.5 rounds, right? I took a swing on Ngannou at greater than a plus 300, and I also had the over 5.5 rounds. Going into the fight, I just did not see any way that the cautious, big giant heavyweight that I knew as Anthony Joshua was going to dive in the pocket against a big puncher, an athlete, right, Francis Ngannou, and was going to go for the early knockout. Now, I'm still trying to figure it out, but I get the feeling that this Joshua is someone who I haven't seen before, right? Let's compare notes. This isn't me telling you what happened. This is just me sharing my take. I hope you share your take in the comment section of this video so that we can exchange thoughts and hopefully both be sharper for the next time Anthony Joshua fights. Make no mistake too, Joshua is gonna fight again soon. I don't believe this boxer is going to wait until Tyson Fury and Usyk sort themselves out. I believe this guy wants to stay sharp. I believe he is redefining himself, right? It's fascinating to watch. Now, the Joshua that I used to know was a Joshua who was stiff to the point where Robert Garcia, who still is one of boxing's best trainers, understand, Garcia is doing great work right now with Bam Rodriguez, for example. Understand that Robert Garcia felt a need to tell Joshua to bend his knees. That's how stiff Joshua was. That's how upright Joshua was. Joshua really was a counterpuncher. I know Joshua had some early KOs, Charles Martin, some other fighters, particularly early in his career. But Joshua was a guy who waited for openings, who was in front of you and who was accustomed to being the Goliath. So he could actually watch you come at him. And then he would watch what you're doing for a while before he started asserting himself, right? This is very different than, let's say, George Foreman, who I consider a stalker, right? Foreman came and found you, right? Foreman didn't think you could take his punch. Foreman would walk across the ring. He had a great jab. Maybe he would jab his way in, but the point is, he was trying to come in. Foreman wasn't a hoverer. I mentioned Foreman simply because it's a unique style, right? Jili Zhang, today, is that kind of fighter, right? He's convinced that if he lands his A punch early, he's going to take you out. Now, the way I saw it, and I'm making this video after a second round Joshua knockout, where Joshua knocks the guy down other times with right hands. Dominant performance by Joshua. But the Joshua that I was, we'll call it, raised with, the Joshua I got to know over the years, and I've been here online making videos, you can look them up, was a Joshua who was cautious and stiff, right? He waited for you to show yourself, show your hands, so he would then show his hands. And I understand. Many of you are going to go back and say, hey, didn't Joshua knock out Joe Joyce in the first round in the amateurs, right? As I said, Joshua's a blessed puncher who has some early knockouts. But let's just say the game had to come to him. He didn't go to the game, right? He was more of a counter Then he was a lead. Now we go from Robert Garcia to another guy, Derek James. And understand, he expects you to actually have defensive skills. When you jump in the pocket and you're a Derek James fighter, you need to be able to have a hand between yourself and the opponent. In other words, if the opponent likes to hit you on the right side of your head, you had to come in and have a hand up. This is what he does, right? He has you having a hand up. He has you turning away from an opponent. You might recall the Oscar Duarte-Ryan Garcia fight. James is in Garcia's corner. And Garcia isn't quite Floyd Mayweather, right? But Garcia was trying to turn away like Mayweather would. Right? The bottom line is Derek James wants you anticipating punches. He wants you changing your hands so you can actually block shots as you come inside. Look at Joshua against Hellenius. Now you'll notice that Joshua, very tentative. That's the Joshua I used to know. Hellenius, on very short notice, takes that fight. And then, of course, Hellenius is hanging around. That's a low-action fight for the first six rounds. You want more Joshua tentativeness. Understand, Franklin is coming in on Joshua. He's dipping and diving in the pocket. And Joshua, of course, who throws a lot of jabs in that fight, but Joshua, of course, isn't going for the early knockout in that fight. Now let's talk about the new Joshua. I understand, no one wants to take credit for it, right? Joshua's happy to be with Ben Davidson. Ben Davidson is saying, hey, look, credit the fighter, not me. I'm just a sounding board for the fighter, right? No one wants to say, here's what we've changed. But Joshua gives an A-level performance against an excellent athlete in Otto Wallin, an athlete that dealt with Murat Gassiev, who's very front foot heavy, right? And Joshua in that fight's interesting because Joshua is more aggressive early than usual. Just look at the early rounds of the Wallin fight. Wallin and his corner pull the plug mid-fight. Right? Quits on his stool. But just understand, Joshua comes out, is in a stance, and is riddling Otto Wallin's body with left jabs. That's my takeaway from that film. He's throwing right hands to Wallin's body. Wallin, southpaw. Tricky southpaw. I thought Wallin would give Joshua more problems. Right? Joshua takes away Wallin's body. Then he starts throwing right hands up top. Folks, it's a great performance. Well, he tops it with this fight against Ngannou, who is standing in an orthodox stance. He's not the mobile lefty that Wallin is. Now, it's fascinating because this is the second fight this weekend where we had a fighter with this fight style. Joshua, under his current trainer, is in a stance and, in my opinion, doesn't want to change his hands. This is different than Derek James. Right? Derek James, I come in, I see you throwing a right hand, I put my hand up. Right? That's Derek James. Understand this, Joshua, he comes in a stance. I see you throwing a right hand. I use my feet for defense. I don't want to get out of my stance. So I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to lean away. I'm going to rely on my feet and my movement to get out of the way of what you're punching. Right? This Joshua, too, in a stance, is always ready to throw punches. right? He's not taking the time to move his hands out of the way to block your shots. No, he comes in, he's moving a lot more than he used to. He's moving a lot more than you think. It's lateral movement. It's not him on his back foot. This Joshua is hovering. So what I want people to do here is to compare this Joshua to the one who fought Charles Martin. He's a different guy, folks. This Joshua comes in, he doesn't want to be pocket-centric. Right? He doesn't want to just be in the pocket there to use size and power against your size and power. He doesn't want to bend his legs and be in the pocket like Robert Garcia wanted him to. And in fairness to Garcia, that was before Joshua's fight against the former cruiserweight champion, Oleksandr Usyk. Now this Joshua is in a stance just like Steve Butler against Steve Rolls a few days ago. He's in a stance and he is moving around the pocket, right? He's not sitting in the pocket, he's moving. Right? You throw a punch, he moves away. The key is he has his hands cocked. Then he's throwing a jab, right? You know, it's on the verge of being a mobile jab. In other words, Joshua's moving and throwing a jab, but it's a work in development, right? I'm not going to say he's Larry Holmes yet or Tyson Fury yet in terms of throwing a jab while being mobile. But just understand, Joshua's punches are much more connected now to his legs, right? So Joshua is throwing a punch while he's moving. The fighter who looks clunky in this fight is actually Francis Ngannou. Then Joshua is observing while he's moving. So Ngannou has a choice to make. He's in against a gifted puncher, a blessed puncher with ring coverage. Joshua can take you out from distance, right? Just like Deontay Wilder. Joshua can take you out from distance. So, either Ngannou has to move out of the way of Joshua's right hand. In other words, it's like being near the train tracks. You see the train coming, you say, okay, this is too dangerous. I have to move myself to get out of the way of this right hand. Or Ngannou has to park the hand over by the side of his head. So if Joshua throws the punch, Ngannou has the angle block to his chin. What Ngannou can't do is what he did do. Let me just pivot here for a second. For those of you into great boxers, Vitaly Klitschko found a third way. Vitaly Klitschko would have his hand up and would be able to block the shot on the way in, right? Look at the Vitaly Klitschko, Chris Areola fight, and Areola's high volume. You'll see Klitschko blocking a lot of shots with his forearms. But let's just say Klitschko, who himself started off as a kickboxer, and then enters boxing. Let's just say Klitschko was a high level of technical proficiency, right? Francis Ngannou is still a work in progress. Let's just say Ngannou, in his second professional fight as a boxer, under boxing rules, right, isn't where Klitschko was. Well, Ngannou makes a mistake. Rather than getting out of the way of the train, in other words, he should have been on Joshua's left side, right? Now, Joshua has a great left hook. I just haven't seen him throw it a lot. But Ngannou should have taken his chances with Joshua's jab and Joshua's left hook. He couldn't take his chance with Joshua's straight right hand. Ngannou doesn't do that. Nor does Ngannou park his hand by his jaw so that if Joshua gets the punch off, even if Joshua loops it, he would have something between the punch and his jaw, right? Joshua would have to be pitch perfect, would have to throw that right hand straight to get by the guard. No, what Ngannou does is he has his hand out here. Maybe he thought he was Vitali Klitschko. He's not. He had his hand out here. I believe that Joshua is reading Ngannou's left hand, is playing games, right? Is jabbing to set up the right hand that Joshua lands flush several times in this fight. I don't care what's said. None of the knockdowns were flash knockdowns. In each knockdown, Ngannou is caught flush. The last knockdown is the best of the bunch. You know, I like fighters who can lead with power shots. Joshua comes in, he has a dummy left hand, right? Joshua has a jab and stuff, but he has no intention of throwing this left. So in the final sequence, Joshua walks over and he has the left as if he's going to throw it. He doesn't throw it. Instead, he comes across with a straight right hand. Folks, it lands so flush that Ngannou hits the canvas so uncoordinated that the referee immediately jumps in and ends the fight. Folks, it's a great stoppage. So let's just say I'm studying Joshua. I just don't have a lot of film to go on here. I have the Otto Wallin film against the Southpaw. I have the Wallin film against the Southpaw. I have this very short, less than 2-round film involving Ngannou. But just to understand, Joshua now is moving more than he normally does. Understand, Joshua is using his legs for defense.